If you turn your Bibles to Isaiah 43, my wife has a sign-up list, and this will be on the back, either up here or the back. This is for watch night service, just so we can bring the things we need for fellowship afterwards. So if you haven't signed up yet to bring something, and this is your opportunity. And I've got so busy making announcements about Monday and Wednesday that I didn't say anything about tonight. But we will be having service tonight, and come early and pray, and let's believe the Lord to meet with us as He is faithful to do. But let's just come prepared with prepared hearts. God, have your way in our lives. We're on the brink of a new year. I suppose I could have saved this for watch night service, but we've been involved in our series on Sunday morning on the promises of God. And again, a promise is simply what God has declared He will do for His people. How many knows God has declared He's going to do some things for His people? And so if you'd stand for the reading of the Word, we're going to begin reading at verse 18. God says to the prophet Isaiah, "Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old." Don't be stuck in the past. "Behold," here's the promise, "behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." God speaking, "I will do a new thing." I want you to take that really personal this morning. Would you just take it personally? Just for you. I mean, it's great to think of it in terms of the church and what God wants to do for the church in the coming year. But I want you to take that personally for you yourself and listen to God. "I will do a new thing." Can you accept that by faith, that promise of God for 2013? "I will do a new thing." I want to preach this morning on the promise of a new thing. The promise of a new thing. Not the hopes, not the wishes, not the dreams, but the promise of a new thing. Heavenly Father, I covet your anointing. Eternal Spirit, you know the hearts of all men and women and young people, Lord, all that can comprehend. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd anoint my words and anoint your word in a special application this morning to hearts. Lord, meet needs in this place. May we leave here inspired and challenged of what you desire to do. Help us to give you all the glory and praise, because all is possible only through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You can be seated. I was talking to a brother the other day, and I asked the question, "How are you doing? How are you doing?" And his answer was this. Maybe the old timers will understand it better than the younger ones, but his answer was, "Same old, same old." How many's familiar with the expression? How are you doing? Same old, same old. In other words, no change as far as I can tell. The things I've been dealing with, I'm still dealing with. The condition I'm in, I'm still in. The difficulties I've been struggling with, I'm still struggling with them. Same old, same old. Now, he was speaking of his physical condition. He was speaking of things in the physical realm. But it can be said of a person in the emotional realm. Same old, same old. Same fears, same troubles, same upset, same bitterness. It can be said of the mental state. How are you doing? Same old struggle, same worry. You can be said of those of their spiritual condition and state. Same apathy, same indifference, same temptation, same problems. Have you ever got to feeling like that? It's just the same old, same old. Three of you have. The rest of you have already got your new thing and you're dancing on the back of the pew this morning. That's great. But I tell you, sometimes it just gets to feeling that way. And you may be there this morning, but do I have good news for you if you're feeling that way? God has promised to do a new thing. If you're feeling same old in your life, you can look to God for a new thing. Hallelujah. He's the God of new things. Praise the Lord. I'm glad for that promise. I will do a new thing. You see, there's a problem that cries for this promise. As humans, as we live this life, as we deal with the cares and the struggles and the difficulties, we do get tired. Even as believers, even as Christians, we get tired, we get weary, we get disillusioned, we get drained by the monotony that our lives seem to settle into. Our lives seem to become nothing but one familiar difficulty and one familiar same-o after same-o. You know, you can look at this in two different realms here. That same old can be because nothing exciting seems to be happening. I mean, it's just the ordinary day after day. It's just the usual. It's just the unchangingness of your life, the familiarity of your life. Here we go again. Here it comes again. Not this again. It's just that ordinariness or that same old could be with our difficulties. It's the same problems, the same temptations, the same relationships, the same struggles, the same battles with Satan. Amen. But this is the promise, or this is the problem for which God gives the promise. If you're getting to feel that way, if you feel like you're facing the same thing and not getting any closer to victory, if you feel like you're facing and failing the same temptations over and over again, you don't have to stay in despondency and think it's always going to be that way. You can turn the ear of your heart to the Lord and hear Him say, you may feel that way. It may even be that way. But I've got a promise for you. I'm going to do a new thing in your life and in your living. Amen. Sometimes we get that same old feeling. We think, if I could just get away to a new place, that'd fix it. If I could just get involved in a new relationship, that would fix it. As Christians, we can think, if I could just go to a new church, if I could just have a new job or a new career or a new mate or a new this or a new that, that would fix this feeling that I have. There's only one problem with thinking that way. When you get to the new place, and you're a man, you get to the new place, that first morning you look in the mirror, you're going to be looking at the same old you. Right? Go to the new church, get involved into the new relationship, amen, get involved with the new job, and here it is. The same person you were is the person you are in the new situation. You know, at some point in life, we figure out that that same old, it's not so much about our environment, the situations that we're in, it's about me. The problem is about me. I'm the same old, same me. Well, I got good news. If you come to that realization, the problem is the same old me, you can realize there's a God that is saying, I'll do a new thing in you and to you and with you and through you. He's a God that can make you new. My wife said so many times, she said, you know, they're unhappy with everything and everybody, because the truth of the matter is they're unhappy with themselves. And when you get that same old, here I go again, this same old feeling, you are unhappy with yourself. And that makes you unhappy with everything and everybody else. But you don't have to stay there, because He said, I'll do a new thing. I'll do a new thing. Amen. People, I believe, are tired of the old and longing for the new. Amen. I think folks are even tired of, I mean, it's great, it's wonderful, but I think folks are tired of the festivities of Christmas. You're glad to put it behind you. You're looking forward to a new year of blizzards and cold and snow and all of that. Looking forward to it. I think some folks have already tired of the new things they got for Christmas. already lost interest. That's the way it is. But I believe in the midst of all that, there's a longing in the hearts of those that love God. And they're saying, Lord, I'm tired of this same old. But Lord, I'm so thankful, not only for what you have done in the past, but Lord, I am so thankful that you're the God that will do a new thing. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm going to believe your promises that you're going to do a new thing in my life in 2013. I'm going to believe it. Then I want us to notice the person that makes and keeps this promise. You see, this promise wasn't first made to us. It was made to God's people, Israel. But since we are now God's people, I believe the principle of the promise is ours today. He spoke it to Israel, I'll do a new thing with you as a nation. But we are now the people of God, so he speaks it to us. I will do a new thing. How can I say with a certainty the promise of the new thing is for us? I can say with a certainty because when I read the Bible, I see that God is the God of renewal. God is the God of revival. God is the God of refreshing. I'm glad I can say God is the God of the new beginning, the fresh start. I just want to tell you, our God is the God of the new thing. The world touts and it boasts that it has new things, but everything that the world claims is new is the same old sin wrapped up in a new temptation. That's all it is. There's nothing new under the sun, but there is something new that comes from heaven. Hallelujah. He is the God of the new thing. What he has for you this morning is something new for your heart and life and for your mind. And so here Israel is. Before this prophecy was initially fulfilled, it appears to Israel that it's all over with for her. Her nation no longer exists. The palace has been burned down. The temple's been razed. The walls of the cities have been torn down. The houses are lived in by foreign folks. The fields have been torched or the crops stolen. And the Israelites, the people of God, have been made captive, have been made slaves, and have been taken away in bondage hundreds of miles away to a foreign land. And when they get to the foreign land, they had to hang their harps on the willow. Life became day after day of the drudgery of slavery. Life as somebody else's property. Life without hope. Life of poverty. And I'm sure it settled into their minds in slavery, in captivity, and exile. Is it always going to be like this? Wake up each day to no hope. Wake up each day to the same bondage. Wake up each day to the same captivity. Is it always going to be like this? And in the middle of that despondency, there came the voice of God through the prophet and says, no, it's not always going to be this way, because I, the Lord, will do a new thing, and I'll bring you out of every captive land, and I'll bring you back to your land, and I'll establish you as a nation all over again. If you feel like it's going to be the same old, same old, you need to hear the voice of God through his word this morning. Behold, I will do a new thing. Look what he says in verse 19. I'm going to do a new thing. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'll take you back to your land. You will be my people again. But what I want you to notice here, who is saying this? Who says this? God does. God said, I. He didn't say you're going to do it for yourself. God said, I will do a new thing for you and with you and to you. God says it. Here's the thing. Look at their situation. Israel could not do this for themselves. Israel could not leave captivity and reestablish herself as a nation. Israel could not do this new thing for themselves. That would have been impossible. Only God could do it. If I had time to tell the story, you would see how only God could do it. He raised up different leaders. He caused different edicts to be made. God supernaturally moved even in the hearts and minds of foreign kings to bring about the reestablishment of Israel. But the point is, God said, I will do it because only He can do it. In other words, you've got to understand this promise. This promise isn't based on our ability. It's not based on our power. This promise is based on God's goodness, God's ability, God's faithfulness, God's power. You say, how can I have a new thing? I'm at the end of my rope. I'm at the end of my strength. I don't have the ability. I don't have the wisdom. How can I have a new? Because you're not the one that brings it to pass. God said, I will do the new thing. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad to know the promise is based on His faithfulness? You can leave here differently this morning. I know with the advent of a new year, people say, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I even heard people in my family say, well, it's going to be different this year. I'm going to do new things. People make New Year's resolutions. I put it in the bulletin. About 45% of Americans this New Year's will make New Year's resolution. Well, there's one problem with that, and I'm not saying don't do that or anything. There's only one problem with your making a New Year's resolution. That leaves it up to you. It's what you've decided you're going to change, and you say with enough determination and with enough discipline, I'm going to make that happen. That's why the majority of New Year's resolutions fail, and I think it's within the first 14 days. Because that's what you're doing. But it's different when God says, this is what I'm going to do with you. This is how I'm going to help you. This is how I'm going to refresh you. Because that's not up to you or me. That's up to Him. How many could believe with me for Union Road? Just believe that God will do a new thing in 2013. I'm not saying we renege on our responsibilities and we don't pray and we're not faithful to serve God and to His. I'm just saying at the end, what God wants to do, only He can do. What we need, only He can do. And it's a big relief to know that I can't do it anyway. I can be faithful to Him, but I can't bring the new thing. But He can. I'm going to trust in Him. God can and He will, and really, He must. Because we need it that badly. And then I want you to notice the power with which He keeps this promise. He says at the end of verse 19, I will make a way in the wilderness. Now that's power, when you can make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If you can generate a river in the middle of the desert, that is power. Verse 20, even the beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls, I've always wondered about that, but what it's saying is if God brings a river in the desert for His people, even the wildlife of that desert benefit from what God is doing for His people. Right? See, that's another reason we need God to do a new thing with us, His people. Because when He is doing a new thing with us, it affects all kinds of folks round about. His power. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. Now I want you to notice in this promise, God could have. He could have done this, but He didn't. He didn't even promise to do it. He could have transformed the whole wilderness into a Garden of Eden. Couldn't God do that? Instead of just making a way in the wilderness and putting a river in the wilderness, He could have transformed that whole wilderness into a tropic of green and crops and fruit and water. But He didn't say, I'm going to transform the wilderness into a garden. He said, I'm going to give a way in the wilderness. I'm going to provide a river. In other words, it is a wilderness. And it's going to be a wilderness. But with God, He's going to make a way to walk through that wilderness. And however dry it gets, and however difficult it gets, and when you need refreshing, and when you need renewing, right in the middle of the desert where you should not be able to expect it, amen, He is going to make a river. Hallelujah. I would like to say there is a river. What God is saying, you look at 2013 stretching out in front of you. It's a trackless wilderness. If it's anything like what you've just been through, it's more of the same. It's more wilderness in front of you. Amen. Everything looks bad financially and politically and every way. It does look like a wilderness stretching out in front of us, 2013. But here's the promise of God. Right in the middle of the wilderness, He'll pave the road in front of us. He'll level the hill. And when we get thirsty and dry, He will provide a river of refreshing and renewing. Hallelujah. You may need that personally. You're in a wilderness this morning. God wants to do a new thing. You've just been wandering aimlessly, confused, but He wants to set the path in front of you. Your soul is thirsty. You're crying out for spiritual renewal. Even God, in the middle of your wilderness, He wants to open up an artesian well that produces a river that flows, and you can be refreshed. Only God can do that. Only God can bring a river in the wilderness. Hallelujah. The way is God's promise that we will get through it. The river is God's promise that He is going to refresh and renew and empower us. Hallelujah. I want to deal with something before we go on to a close. This is wrong, but so many in the church world take this promise of God saying, I'll do a new thing. They take that as a promise that God's going to do something novel and odd and strange and never done before and unheard of. I've mentioned it before, but several years back there was a certain church denomination that was debating the accepting of homosexual priests. And it was appearing that that was going to go through for that denomination. And on national radio, I heard him interview one of the main bishops that was spearheading the ordination and accepting of homosexual priests. And he was ecstatic because it seemed like it was about to go through. And he was asked how he felt about it. And he said, well, you know, God did promise He would do a new thing. And this accepting of homosexuals in ministry, this is God doing a new thing. You've never heard of it before. It's odd. It's strange. That's not what God means by doing a new thing. Even in Pentecostal circles, they've done some weird, odd, crazy things. If I took time to go into some of them, they would shock you. So I'll just pick a mild one. A few years back, they asked all the kids, the girls in the church, to bring their dolls. And they were not only going to baptize people, they're going to baptize their dolls too. And they'll do strange things. And I could give you several others. And you ask them about it and they'll say, well, God is doing a new thing. That's not what it means. It's strange and odd. And you see, He said He'd make a way through the wilderness and give them waters in the desert. But if you're a Bible reader, something's clicking. How's that a new thing? He already done that before. I know this is a captivity. I know this is a Syrian captivity and later Babylonian captivity, 800 and 500 years before Christ. I know that. I know that. But you begin to think, hadn't God done that before? How many's already thinking? Didn't He do that? What happened when He brought them out of Egypt? Did He not lead them through that wilderness? Did He not make a way through every enemy? Did He not provide water out of the rock in the wilderness? So He's already done this. But here's the difference. He hadn't done it for this new generation. He hadn't done it. That was Egyptian bondage. This is Assyrian bondage. This is Babylonian bondage. He hadn't done it for this crisis. He hadn't done it yet for this situation.
But my point is, he has already done that before in history. But the new thing is, he's going to do it for the new crisis, the new problem, the new generation, the new difficulty. You see, we don't need God to do something strange and odd and unheard of. We just need God to do what he's always done, but do it for us. Do it for me. God, you've opened blinded eyes, but open up the eyes of my spirit. God, you've opened deaf ears, but open up the ears of my heart. God, you've brought folks out of bondage before, but bring my family out of bondage. Oh, God, you brought people through discouragement and temptation before, but bring me. The new thing is, he wants to do it fresh, up to date, personally for you. That's the new thing. Hallelujah.
We don't need something different. We need renewal, refreshing, reviving. God has saved in the past. That's what we need right now. We need folks saved. God is taking folks without spiritual appetite and giving them passion to serve him before. We need to do it, him to do it for us. Amen. God has sent revivals to churches that transform the community. The backsliders were arrested. Amen. We don't need something new and strange. We just need God to do that for us in the new year. Make it fresh. Make it real all over again. Hallelujah. Fill the empty. Encourage the discouraged. Strengthen the weak. Hallelujah. Undergird those that are stumbling. In fact, that one song that we used to sing says it so well about this new thing. It says, Lord, do a new thing in an old-fashioned way. Amen. You know, I'm not for old-fashioned just for the sake of old-fashioned. And sometime when folks get up here and they say to a new generation, we need an old-fashioned move of God. Amen. Here's the thing, two things. I know what they mean, and they mean correctly. They're saying we don't need something strange and unique. We just need something out after the pattern that you read about clear back to the book of Acts. Amen. So I understand, and I'm not taking exception with that. But the way I feel, amen, if God moves, it's never old-fashioned. It's always not out of date. It's always up to date. It's always fresh. That's why you can take Amazing Grace that you might have sung thousands of times in your Christian experience, but all of a sudden you're singing Amazing Grace, and God's doing a new thing through Amazing Grace. You've heard John 3:16 preached all your life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, but all of a sudden it's new, it's fresh, it's real. That's what we need. How many would join me in praying? Oh God, keep your promise in my life and do a new thing. Make it fresh.
There are a lot of things I could point out, but I'm briefly going to point out three before we quit. Some particular new things in that promise. First of all, God can give new life and a new way of living. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things, literally, are becoming new, one after the other. He's making things new. Aren't you glad he's the giver of new life? Maybe not here, maybe over the internet, but I want you to know, if you're tired of living that old life, there is a God in heaven who can give you a brand new life, and that new life begins in your heart. He can do it. People that have lived steeped in sin, people that have lived in wickedness, he can give them new life. A second new thing he can do, he can give new purity, new cleanliness, new joy, a new sense of his presence. I pray it frequently because I need it. But the psalmist in Psalm 51, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's the new thing. God, make it fresh with me. You know, I've stumbled over that many times in prayer. Create in me a clean heart. If you go back to that verse, create in me a clean heart, O God. How does God create? He creates out of nothing. And the way I find myself praying, God, you're going to have to create a clean heart in me, because I don't even have the stuff. I don't even have the material for you to use to make a clean heart. It's not like he can take what's there and just transform it. He's got to give me something completely that I don't have. How many knows he can do that? Create in me. Oh, won't you just read these words with me as a personal prayer? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Hallelujah. And then last of all, knowing he can give you new life, knowing he can sanctify you and give you new purity and new cleanliness and new joy and a new sense of his presence, but he can give you a new perspective, a new attitude, and a new motive. Romans chapter 12. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, there's constant pressure trying to pressure us into the likeness and the mold and the image of the world. But don't let the pressure of the world cause you to conform to it. There's another way. Be transformed by the renewing. See the word new again? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to tell you, God will do a new thing. He will transform your mind. You see, what that is, transform mind, that doesn't mean you had an IQ of 95 and all of a sudden he's given you an IQ of 125. When it talks about transforming that mind, it means changing the attitude and the outlook and the perspective and the motive. You don't have to lift a hand, but on the brink of this new year, how many say, that's me, I need that. I need God to transform and renew my mind, to give me a new outlook and attitude. Hallelujah. And when you pray that, then hear his promise. I will do a new thing, saith the Lord. Would you come, music? In the advent, I don't watch them, but in the advent of reality shows, there's been real fascination over the makeover. A house, a person. They'll take a ratty looking person, make a big deal about they're going to do a makeover. They'll make over their hair. They'll give them new clothes, new shoes. Maybe even surgically makes some changes. Give them new glasses. Rework their teeth. Makeover. They usually ask them something like, well, how will this change your life? Well, there may be some temporal changes that don't last. But the trouble with those kind of makeovers is they do all those things, but they can only do it to the outer person. The real makeover people need is in their heart and the inner person. You know, I think there's people crying out even this morning, God, I need you to do a new thing. I'm tired of this same old person that I've been. Same old temptations that I have fought. Same old attitude that keeps rearing up in my life. I'm tired of that. And God, you're someone that can do the inner makeover. How many knows he can do it? Oh, hallelujah. If you're here, you desire God to do a new thing personally in your life and a new thing at Union Road, would you stand and lift your hearts and hands and say, God, I want to believe your promise to do a new thing in my life. Would you pray it all over the building? I need you to do a new thing in my heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I need to be transformed. Create in me a clean heart. I don't want to be conformed to this world. I've preached for this service. I have. But beyond this service, as we approach this new year, that it would be a desire that would stay with us. God, do a new thing in my life. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe you're here this morning You're not a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. You don't live the Christ life. You live a life without Him. But oh, you'd like Him to do a new thing, to make you a new you spiritually. If you're here this morning, you're not a follower of Christ. You want new life, new living, a new reason for living. Would you come? I want to invite you to this altar. Hallelujah. I know this will take a bit of honesty. That appeal remains open. This will take a bit of honesty. But you're here today and you say, you know, that really is me. I'm tired of the same temptations. I'm tired of having the same outlook on life. I'm tired of the same perspective. I'm tired of the same spiritual deadness. I'm tired of the same apathy. Whatever it may be, it may be different for different folks or all together. But you say, I'm tired of the same old, and I want God to do a new thing in my life. Would you begin to fill these altars and say, God, I'm going to take you up on your promise. Do a new thing in me. I'm tired of the old. I'm going to seek you. I'm going to call out to you. I'm going to believe that you're the God that does a new thing. I'm going to pray, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy. Make it new. It's a new day. It's a new crisis. It's a new difficulty. It's a new temptation. I need a new touch of God. I need a fresh touch of God. I need new passion. I need new desire. I need new hunger. I need you, Lord.
Fresh and holy anointing.
God bless
just
your people.
Let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire. Fresh anointing fall on me. And Lord, I need your anointing, a fresh and holy anointing. Just let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire. Fresh anointing fall on me. Lord, I need your anointing, a fresh and holy anointing. Just let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire. Fresh anointing fall on me. Open up the windows of heaven. I need the promise that you've given. Let it fall, let it fall. Fall on me. Open up the windows of heaven. I need the promise that you've given. Let it fall, let it fall. Fall on me. Oh, open up the windows of heaven. I need the promise that you've given. Let it fall. Let it fall, fall on me. Open up the windows of heaven. I need the promise that you've given. Let it fall, fall on me. And Lord, I need your anointing.
A fresh and holy anointing. Ask it for your church. Lord, according to your promise, do a new thing. Do a new thing. Refresh, renew, revive, replenish.
Desire for a touch of heavenly fire. A fresh anointing fall on me. Lord, I need your anointing. A fresh and holy anointing. just let it fall on me. My heart is filled with desire for a touch of heavenly fire, a fresh anointing fall.